Dorset Theater Festival opens their 39th season on Wednesday, the 18th of June, with Red, a play by John Logan that has earned 6 Tony Awards, including the 2010 Tony Award for Best Play. It deals with the struggles of Mark Rothko and stars Tim Daly in the Dorset production. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Tim Daly to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Very nice to have you with us. What brought you to this role of wanting to do this huge part about a huge guy?
Well, I was at the Dorset Theater Festival last summer and did a really fantastic Teresa Rebeck play called The Scene. And I'm so impressed by Dina Janis and her choice of material, because it's not usual summer stock fare. And we were looking for something to do together. And we sort of cast a wide net, and she mentioned Red, which terrified me but also excited me, because it gives me a chance to do something that I may not be able to do in the commercial arena and really work out. But I think this play is—it's profound, it's funny, it's very deep, and I'm just, you know, thrilled to be able to accept this challenge and see what I can do with it.
As you get ready to open in a week, at what point are you in now? You have summer stock is notorious for this of dealing with something big in a very short period of time. So what is it like to try to absorb all of this in a play that is, having seen it several times, beautiful, stunning, but also there's a lot of language. It is talky.
I think the words that best describe the place where I'm in now are total, utter panic. because it's a lot to do. And I was sitting here before you called, trying to absorb this language and these words. And, you know, the thing is that you want to be able to say the words, but you also want to give them their due respect and justice, and not just list a lot of things like a dictionary. So it's one thing to absorb the language. It's another thing to understand it and make it specific and bring it to an audience in a way that is alive and free. So that's what I struggle with, and it is a shortcoming of most summer stock places. You just don't get enough rehearsal. So, but you know, that's what I signed up for. So I gotta just do the best I can.
It's you and another actor on stage, an assistant, a fictional assistant, although the project that you're working on is real. Mark Rothko was commissioned to do the series of murals for the Four Seasons Hotel and became quite conflicted about doing that and about art and commerce and ultimately that question of what is art, which is battled throughout the play. So let me begin with that question of just being you and another guy on stage for that period of time.
Well, it has to be a real collaboration, because we need each other. If one of the other of us struggles, we are going to have a big problem, and we're going to rely on the other person to bail us out. But that's just the technique of it. What it really is. You know, a deep story about a relationship that becomes very much like teacher and mentor, father and son. And I think the play explores that as much as it does the meaning of art or the conflicted feelings that Rothko had about his commission. It's fascinating because the play is set in from 1958 to about 1960. And it's interesting to think about artists struggling so deeply with commerce at that moment, because we have to remember that at that point in time, there were no names on underwear and clothes, and and Bob Dylan wasn't doing commercials for the Super Bowl. It was shameful for a real artist to be seen as someone who was selling out or kowtowing to commercialism. And his struggle, I think, is a struggle that a lot of true artists have. And I don't know really where I fall on this. I think it's a noble thing to make a living, but I also think that there's a point at which artists do hurt their talent by not being true to something more than the marketplace. So I don't know if that answers your question. I kind of got off on a tangent. You asked about two people on stage. Yeah, it's a bitch.
I was setting it up too, so you went exactly where I wanted to go about that idea of art and commerce and that whole question of what is art and the struggle, which also brings in the relationship between these two characters as they discuss this, because Rothko is going through a real turning point and questioning his very identity and his very art.
Yes, and I think that that's something that artists struggle with all the time. It's why people can never scratch that itch, people who are true artists. I mean, if people could, then why wouldn't Picasso stop painting? I mean, he had everything in his lifetime. He was respected, he was renowned, he had money, he had a lot of wives and babies, and yet he was voracious. He still couldn't get it. He was still after something. And I think that most true artists are. They don't give up. They don't settle for something that seems to define them. And Rothko certainly felt that way. I think that it also speaks to the human condition. We keep wanting to arrive someplace and have everything be settled, and it's not. We have to get up every day and struggle with the vicissitudes of being a human being on the planet, and it ain't easy. So I think the play, it has something for everyone, not just artist or struggling artist or aspiring artist, but for any human being who is considering their life and trying to make it interesting and better and understand it.
You are certainly well known for your work in television, Wings and Sopranos, just to name a few, and film. How does theater challenge you differently?
Well, it's in the hands of the actor, which is really exciting and why I think it's my favorite medium to work in. Because once the lights go up, it's all yours. And you get to tell the story from beginning to end, and no one can edit it, and no one can take out your mistakes or color correct you or put a new song under the dialogue. So you are entering into a state of hopefully transcending something and being able to convey a story that that involves the audience. It's a companionship, because you're in a room, a dark room, you're sort of trapped in there with these people, and it creates a certain special energy. And then the other thing I love about it is that it lives in people's memories. It's not captured for all time on film or on a chip. I guess now most things are captured on chips.
Mm-hmm.
It is that evening's memory of that performance and what happened in that room. And that's sort of special. So I love it.
I want to talk a little bit about John Logan, because we were talking about language a moment ago. John Logan, who wrote Red. There's a wonderful balance in the show of this incredibly intellectual, beautiful dialogue that it at times is just hilariously funny. It's a wonderful balance that goes on.
Yeah, well, I think that one of the things about the way that Mr. Logan illuminates Rothko is that he's a guy who is barely aware of his own pretension and penchant for over-verbalizing everything. But I think that the audience gets a kick out of it, because he's unable to take anything at face value. Any description he's given, he has to drill down into the minutia of it. And I think that becomes funny over time.
The original production was Alfred Molina and Eddie Redmayne. Did you see that production?
I did. Alfred's a friend of mine, and I thought he was brilliant.
So does that inform your I mean, not... I guess, how do you use that experience of having seen another actor do it?
Well, I think the best way that I can use it is to know that I've seen pictures of Mark Rothko Fred Molina doesn't resemble him at all. I don't resemble either of them at all. So I think that it frees me in a certain way to know that this is not about doing a biographical imitation or documentary of Mark Rothko. It's about capturing his intellect and his struggle. And I think that many different actors can embody that. So that made me actually feel free about it. That being said, there are certain moments that Alfred created in the production, which I saw twice. I saw it in New York and in Los Angeles, that I need to struggle to push aside because I thought he was so great. And I hope to be able to create my own version of that, but we'll see. Talk to me in a week.
And do you enjoy the intensity of it? Because it seems to me that that's a show that you do when you come off and you're done, realizing you're not on stage yet, but you're done and you're just exhausted.
I have not done the show in full yet, so I don't know how exhausted I'll be. I anticipate being pretty worn out. It's if nothing else, intellectually, extremely difficult.
Right.
So I would assume that that would, you know, the gas tank would be pretty empty by the time the show's over.
I didn't realize your Vermont roots. You're a Bennington College grad.
I am.
So
and a Putney School grad too. So I spent high school and college here.
So it's nice to come back to the old stomping grounds, I would think.
It is, and I actually have had a farm in Vermont for 20 years. That's where you're calling me right now. So I'm a neighborhood guy.
Excellent. Well, Red opens on Wednesday the 18th at the Dorset Theater Festival. Tim Daly, thank you very much for joining us, and best of luck in the production. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Great to have you on the program.
Thanks.
Red runs at the Dorset Theater Festival June 18th through July 6th. You can find out more information by going to dorsettheaterfestival.org. dorsettheaterfestival.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.